Down when you're ready.
Okay. It's waiting for YouTube to receive the video.
I'll show
you receive video. I'm gonna give it like a 3 second header for you. And I really need to go to the bathroom.
I do too.
Are we live?
I think so.
Hey, Charles, are we getting a countdown or no?
Hang on.
What do you mean you look live?
I love how our first comment is abolish the ATF. I agree.
Hey guys, what's up? So we're going to be doing a live for the next hour or so, answering some of your questions regarding equipment, firearms, training, and I know there's going to be some political questions as well regarding the virus and the pandemic that is going on. Real quick, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Lucas Botkin. I'm the CEO of T-Rex Arms. Started the company a little over 6 years ago, started shooting, then moved into training, teaching, product development. Obviously, been doing that since the beginning. And it's been a pretty wild ride for the past 6 years, bringing in employees, manufacturing product, getting stuff out, and along the process, just learning more about some of this stuff. And what we try to do at T-Rex Arms is educating people more effectively on this equipment, on other people's equipment as well, not just our own. So we try to push a lot of content out there on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube, obviously, as you guys are aware. Live streams, we've been doing a lot of Instagram lives over the past couple of years, and we're now just venturing into YouTube Live. A big thing that I've seen some people ask about on our last YouTube Live, for example, is why are you guys getting political? Just talk about guns, because they think we're only a gun company or gun channel. Well, the reality is the way to change culture isn't to stay apolitical. The way to change culture is to take sides, and it is to actually talk about things, and sometimes things that people don't want to hear or people don't want to think about. So T-Rex Arms has always talked about various things that have happened in our country, in our nation, and that's what we are going to continue to do. We're not here to make everyone happy. We're not here to stay in the middle and stay neutral. We're here to champion American principles and champion personal responsibility of citizens. Here I've also got Drew, who's our marketing director, Drew Hopkins, who's also on Instagram under the name Drew Hopkins. He is going to be,
crazy.
I know, right? Hard
to crazy.
Guess. He is going to be fielding some of y'all's questions, giving them straight to me, and also jumping in on some of the stuff because he's also an avid shooter, and he has some different insight as far as other equipment that I don't use. A lot of the guys here at T-Rex are fill different capacities, which is really cool, and then we get together and talk, and it's not like we're all focused on just this one thing over here, so it's kind of like an echo chamber. We disagree on stuff all the time. We talk about it. I'm sure you guys will hear some of that on this live.
We're going to fight at some point.
But I'm also going to be keeping track of how many times I fire him on my arm. So we are going to do that, which is a little inside joke on Instagram. So if you don't follow us on Instagram, there's going to be some stuff you guys may not notice. And definitely follow the company, Trex Arms. And then I have my account, Lucas Trex Arms. And then, of course, there's Drew Hopkins. And we're constantly posting behind the scenes, answering questions, posting other content on there. We post on average, 14, 16 videos a week between all of our accounts and then photos. So we're having to generate a lot of content. We've got Chad and Charles here running the stream, running the cameras, and they're the guys that you see also running the cameras for the YouTube videos, which you guys all watch. So with all that said, I want to give you guys, obviously you guys can ask whatever you want. We're going to try to answer a lot of questions, but obviously it's a little hard sometimes to answer, every question that comes in, especially when you've got comments literally every second. But there are some big questions that we do want to start answering. We're in our gear room where we've got a lot of different optics, lasers, lights. We have a wide variety of firearms. Pretty much every firearm you guys have seen on our YouTube is here in this room with us. So if there's a gun that you've seen in a video and you're like, hey, can you run over that BCM or can you run over that whatever, we've got it. The only gun that we don't have in this room that we've had on YouTube is the Select Fire 416, but I have my own 416 now, which is similar, so.
And the ACR, which doesn't work.
That too, so. That's not here because that thing, the piston, like exploded and lots of problems. So, Drew, what kind of questions, what kind of comments are we getting right now?
Let's see. The first question is, this will be something simple, your favorite LPVO under 1,000 and why?
So here's the issue with glass, once you start getting into magnified optics. You end up paying for what you get. And the problem right now is there's not a lot of really good scopes in the LPVO field, 1 to 6, 1 to 8, 1 to 10, that end up being under $1,000. I would say probably the best one. I've had one for like a month, a long time ago. I haven't used it since, although I've thought about buying one to play with, is the Vortex Viper PST. Not the Strike Eagle, which is a very hit or miss optic. I've talked to some people who said I've had great success with it, and a lot of people said they haven't. But the Viper PST is about $600, I think, something around there. You might be able to pick it up $500 street price. And some of my buddies that run those versus the Razer HD, which is a $1,400 scope, say in some ways it's better. In some ways it's actually not bad. So I would recommend that one for a 1-6 application. But in reality, if you want to get scopes for shooting, you know, past, say, 300-400 meters, you're going to want to get good glass that lets a lot of light in, that has good clarity, that allows you to actually see well downrange, because that's ultimately what you're trying to put on your gun. You're basically trying to magnify your eyeball, and that's going to cost some money. So that's just, you're going to have to pay some money. That's just how it is, especially once you start getting into higher magnifications. So, and we have a wide variety of optics here. I've got the new Razer 1-10 here, and I've been testing this guy, and it's got some pros and some cons, and we'll have more on that later. Schmidt and Benders, loophole optics, and other stuff. But this is all expensive, more expensive glass over the $1,000 range. I don't have any of the cheaper options right now. What else we got?
Man, we have a ton. Okay.
I know it's a lot.
Aimpoint or EOTech? One we get all the time.
We do.
I already know the answer to this.
We get that a lot. So I want to get a gun. So there's one over there. I want to grab this guy just for the sake of show and tell. Do we have an aimpoint gun? Yeah, those all have EOTechs, don't they?
They do.
He's clear. Aimpoint. There's an AK. Yeah. You know what? Because this is a unique weapon, hold that.
Proper use of the word unique.
Very unique. See what I did there. So that is a big question people ask, and there's honestly, I don't believe there's any right answer. I think they're both very good optics. I personally preferred the aimpoint when I first started out shooting. Used the EOTech a little bit, didn't like how cluttered the reticle was. But as I started getting better at shooting, and I started shooting on the move more, I started target transitioning more, I came to like the EOTech a lot more. And there's another thing about the EOTech a lot of people don't realize is when you start shooting distance, it's really important that you have very clear glass. And the issue with the aim points is usually the glass is a little bit tinted, and it's not as parallax-free as the EOTechs. So this Aimpoint T2 here on this Alpha, Meridian Defense Alpha AK, which is a gun that I don't think it's been on YouTube yet. It's something that we just haven't gotten time to really shoot. But when you start shooting 300-400 meters with one of these, it's a lot harder to really see the target through the optic. And generally, I shut my left eye when I'm shooting distance. So I'm just looking through the optic. I'm not having two different images to engage. But I actually prefer the EOTech for shooting distance and honestly for shooting up close. Now, where the T2 really shines is obviously battery life. So if you want a gun, you don't have to worry about changing batteries, changing brightness. You can leave on, this one's left on 7. This one could have been off. I haven't been using it. But you can leave it on 10 so you can see it on a cloudy day. And then if it's full brightness sun, turn it up to 12 or 11. I'd say get the T2 if you're someone who doesn't want to think about brightness, batteries, all that stuff. With that said, my EOTech doesn't die that often. I change out batteries on them like once every 6 months, if that. So it's not as bad as everyone says. They've been getting better. They bump up like 100 hours every couple of years on them. I really like the EOTech. It's also obviously a all-in-one unit where you've got, obviously, it comes with the mount, so you don't have to worry about buying different mounts. You just get the unit, drop it on the gun, super user-friendly, and then you can start shooting. So, but honestly, whichever one you get, they work great. It all comes down to your ability to shoot and use that piece of equipment, but I like both. So
the answer is yes.
Yes to both. They're both good. It's not like if you ask Aimpoint versus this $50 NC Star Airsoft Red Dot. That'd be a different discussion altogether.
It would. We should talk about that at some point.
Don't buy, ever, Airsoft Red Dots that are like $50
for Call of Duty. This is a question we've been getting a lot on Instagram, obviously here on YouTube. What pro mask or what gas mask do you recommend?
So that's going to depend on a few factors. One of them, obviously, is budget, and one of them right now is availability. So right now, everything is basically bought up. You can't really get anything. What I've been using for the past few years is an Avon. This guy up here, we're not going to talk about this too long. The only reason for that is it's not like you guys can go and buy masks right now, so I just don't feel like this discussion we need to talk about for a long time, but nor are we massive experts on gas masks and Seaburn and all that good stuff. But I've been running this Avon M53, And what I like about this mask is it's just extremely, it's very streamlined. It only takes one filter on the left side of the mask, so my right side is clear. They also make this mask, I believe, in a left-handed variant. They also have the newer model, the M50, which takes two filters, and you can run one filter on or not. But I've been running this mask for a long time. I've also had this little voice amplifier box so that I can sound like Darth Vader, which is actually really great because I've had to teach with this mask on. So being able to turn that on and actually like talk to everyone where they can hear you is a really big deal. This mask retails for about $1,000 if you can find them. Some of these companies are very restrictive in who they sell to, which I think is really stupid, but they have the freedom to do so. And then there's other masks. Drew knows some of the other models, the Mira Safety.
Yeah, in fact, we've got them back here. Yeah, so this is the Mira Safety 6M, and it's pretty good for shooting pistol. You know, if you're gonna run it, it's too bulky to get a good cheek weld, like on a stock on a rifle. But this is a cheap option. I think it's like $150 or something like that. It definitely works. The other one, which I've been running mostly, is the Mira Safety 7M. And this thing works great for aiming down sights through rifles. The field of view isn't as great, but again, this is only like $200-$250 compared to $1,000 Avon. These are much easier to find too. So yeah, and again, I'm not an expert, but these tend to work pretty well. So
yeah, just remember to stow your thingies in the front. It doesn't look as cool.
It doesn't.
That allows you to actually put the mask on. So. Cool stuff. What else? We don't need to talk about masks.
We don't.
That is something that we want to become much more versed on in future, and obviously try to help people with before the next big thing kicks off. Who knows when? Once this situation is resolved.
This is a very common question. Is there a budget way to get into night vision? And answer that question. But furthermore, I want you to touch on what is the cheapest option you would recommend to someone.
So,
which is still not going to be cheap.
Right. So the problem with night vision right now is you could get into it for $1,000, but at that point it's not even worth it.
Because
you're getting a Gen 1 or a Call of Duty quad digital $200 toy. Getting in for $1,000 isn't going to work. The minimum you can get into where you're actually gaining the benefit of night vision, I believe, is about $4,000 to $5,000, depending on what corners you cut. So you have the night vision unit itself. I would recommend a PVS 14. You can pick those up used for like, I got mine 5 years ago for $1,600. It was a Franken tube and an AB housing, Omni 6 green phosphor. So I got that for $1,600. I had a $50 Rhino mount. I then had a $200 Team Wendy bump, $300 Team Wendy bump, and then a D-ball I squared for $600. So if you do the math, it ends up being about $4,000. There are cheaper ways of cutting corners, like you get a $50 bump helmet, skate helmet. You get super cheap Air Pro to put on it, or none at all. You get a Rhino mount on eBay for $10, or an Airsoft something for $20. Not that I recommend that. And then you get a PVS 14 for $2,000, a little less, and you could be in. Oh, and then you skip the laser, and you do a passive red dot solution, like an Aimpoint T2 or an EOTech, and you aim through the red dot with your night vision on, which is a little hard to do with a single tube. Then you're only looking at maybe a little over for that. But to get all the benefit out of night vision that you really need, if you want to get into it, I would say probably 5. Where you have a good helmet, you have a good mount, because that does make a big difference as you're articulating the mount, the night vision and moving it around. A good tube, a good unit, which is going to be, you know, $3,000 for a good PVS 14. And then if you are going to go the laser route, a laser that has an illuminator, not just a laser pointer, but like a laser illuminator combo unit. And those are minimum $1,200, $1,300. Like the App PLC, and those go all the way up to $2,500 for them all. So you're looking at about $4,000 to $6,000 for an optimal night vision setup with a single tube. So you just go to dual, you're looking at $10,000. That's just how it is. You get Sentinels for $6,000 if it's green. Then you could cheap out on a laser. But at that point, if you're dropping $6,000 on a binos or $7,000 on binos, you're probably going to get a $500 mount. You're probably going to get a $1,500 laser. You're probably going to get a ballistic helmet for $1,000. Maybe $600 if it's like a fast helmet. So there's no cheap way of doing it. Think about it as minimum 4. And then if you really want to optimize it, probably 5. And then if you want to go straight to binos, about 10. And that's about what you're looking at right now. What else?
Is it worth going into debt to get plates and a carrier right now?
No. It's never worth it to go into debt for any of this stuff. Just prioritize your spending, sell some luxuries you don't need, buy what you can afford and save up. And
it's,
honestly,
it's amazing what you can afford if you just don't buy entertainment. Like, yeah, you cut off Netflix, cut off TV. I haven't had TV in how many years?
I don't have TV.
That's how I can afford ammo. So.
And there's also, like, video games are $60 when they come out. Now, I did pay $60 for the latest Call of Duty, but that's
because, by the way, he was in it, in case he hasn't let you all know lately.
Whatever. So I bought that game, but if you're constantly buying games right when they come out for $60, that's a lot of money right there. That's a lot more money than going to watch movies. Like, going to the theater once every 6 months is cheaper than buying the latest video game every month for $60. So prioritized spending is a big deal. I know some guys that make, you know, 40 a year who have night vision. And the way they do it is by skipping luxuries. They don't drink a lot. They don't smoke. And they have money they can buy this stuff. So that's just something people need to think about. And the other issue that I've seen is people freaking out or complaining because they weren't prepared before this pandemic, before this virus. Ammo a month ago was 27 cents a round. You know, now it's a dollar a round for cheap 5.56, but that's people's fault for not being prepared beforehand. Our country's been pretty stable since about 2009. That's plenty of time to have some ammo, get prepared. The problem is people get really comfy, complacent, they fall asleep when everything's great, and then as soon as things get bad, they realize, oh no, I wasn't prepared. So one of the things that I'm really hoping for once all this is over is people, you know, remember what happened, they remember where they were at, and they try to fix it so it doesn't happen again, because I wouldn't be surprised if the next thing, whatever it is going to be a lot worse than what's going on right now. What's going on right now is not that bad yet. Maybe it won't get worse. We don't know. But honestly, it's not that bad compared to other countries right now. So it's something to think about. But I hope that people will learn from this afterwards and will be able to get prepared and stay prepared for the next one.
Speaking of body armor, budget body armor and plate carrier for someone that wants to be prepared. Let me just say, yeah, whenever it comes to plate carriers and specifically body armor, you don't need to be looking for budget options exactly.
No.
I understand everyone has a budget. I've had jobs before where I didn't make a lot of money. You have to get what's smart for you and your family. But do not skimp out on something that is literally designed to save your life. Get something that's quality, even if it means you have to save a little bit longer. So with that being said, do you have any options for them?
Yeah, well, those are a little bit different. But yeah, so we did a lot of research here at T-Rex before carrying armor, because that was one of the big questions that we had is, you know, what armor should I get? So we started doing research on other options, on all the different options out there, and we came to the conclusion that HESCO was going to be the brand that was going to be most effective for us to carry and then provide to people. We carry the L210s, which are a special threat plate. They're about, what is it, 260 a plate?
They're less.
I can't remember what they are. You can check their site. But they're out of stock right now. We have more on the way. But those plates are about as cheap as I would go on plates. I know steel comes to mind. People are like, yeah, I'll use steel armor. It's like $100 a plate. Well, one, a lot of the steel out there isn't going to defeat SPAL. So when a round impacts, you have all the frag. If you've ever shot steel targets before, you know what I'm talking about. So you're going to have that nice stuff going up into your throat or going down to your groin. Now, some plates are coated with this stuff called rhino linings or some form of like rubber material, and they say this will stop it, but it all depends how many layers they're doing. Is it actually going to stop it? How many rounds worth of SPAL is it going to stop? And then, you know, how is it dispersing the energy when the round actually hits the plate? Because just because you're shooting a plate on the ground 50 times and it's just like moving into the dirt, that's great. It's stopping the bullets, they're not going through. But all that energy transfer is still going to do some crazy stuff to your body. And that's part of the testing that goes on for plates is energy transfer and absorbing the energy, backface deformation, all that good stuff. So armor is not something you skimp out on. I would say if you don't have enough money to buy armor, get a chest rig. Stay mobile. Don't weigh yourself down with like 30-pound armor that is probably possibly not even going to work, where you can't move very fast. You get winded right away. You're fatigued. So then you can't fight very well. Skip that. Get a chest rig. Stay mobile. Run around. Speed can be security. Focus on that instead. But I recommend if you can, 3810s are really good. It's about, I think, $1,200 for a set on our site. Yep. So about $600 a plate. They're a little bit better, but they're lightweight. They'll defeat a lot of rounds. You could look at the specs on our site. But HESCO is what we recommend. It's what I have in my rig. I actually have some fancier ones in mine right now that I got.
There's some. Actually, those are 36.
Those are 3610s, or not 38, whatever. 3410s, whatever they're called. But this is my Spiritus Overt, which these aren't in stock anywhere right now because they're having a hard time keeping up, and it makes sense. But I've got 4800 LVs, which these are about 1200 a plate. They're level 4 and they're super slim. I have these for, I don't necessarily need these, but there are some folks that I've worked with where they've had M85 A1 ammo on the range, so my normal plates wouldn't necessarily deal with that ammo, so I wear these plates if I'm working with those folks because it'll defeat a little bit more. But these plates are really good. This whole rig weighs about, when it's loaded up, weighs about 20 pounds total with ammo and accessories, all that good stuff, and I'm good to go. But armor is not something you should skimp on. Armor is not something that you should try to get budget on. Get a chest rig, get a belt, stay mobile if you can't afford getting armor.
There are 1,000 other areas in your life that you can go budget on. This is not one of them. That's just my opinion.
You're literally, the thing you are trying to buy is the thing that you are counting on to stop a bullet. So you don't want a snake oil, a product that you're putting between you and a bullet.
You can cut spending. You can't magically increase your income all the time. So L210s, which are $340 for a set, they stop the majority of the popular rounds these days. That's a go-to. So, and they're not super heavy. So, and they're thin, which is nice.
Yep, they're really thin, which is good.
Okay, gun stuff. Could you please give us an overview of your 13.7 SCAR 17?
Great. Well, that is completely stripped right now of everything.
Of course.
So, we put a new rail on it. It's got a Neotech and a suppressor on it.
Go get it.
Okay. It doesn't have anything else on it. It's changed a lot over the years, just because it's had to for, you know, work stuff. But it now has a CAS-V rail on it, the Voltor CAS-V rail. It's got a Surefire 7.62 RC2 suppressor. It's got a Eotech XPS3, thank you. Charging handles on the left side. Normally I have a mod light up here in the front that this pressure pad goes to, but I can also obviously put a PEC 15 on there. But we're playing with these new rails. It had a Midwest Industries rail on here earlier, but we're just playing with something a little bit different. It still has the UGG boot, the traditional UGG boot, but I haven't shot this gun in a while, and it's something I need to bring back and really run. My main SCAR is actually tucked away in a Pelican, all compact, and I've actually been getting dope on that, zeroing it up and getting it all built as a little kit. It's that little Pelican right there. It's kind of legit.
That is dope.
Stock folded, suppressor off the gun, throw that on there, build it out, bipod. It's pretty awesome. But that's the main SCAR I've been shooting. This 13.7, really not as much. So, but the SCARs are cool. I like them.
They are. Could you go over belt setups? You mean to go snag an Orion that's already kitted?
You can, yes. Okay. So belt setups is a thing that we talk about and we get asked a lot of questions about here at the company. Because obviously we sell products for war belts, and we sell war belts, or battle belts, competition belts, whatever you want to call them. There's two styles of belt out there. You've got the over belt that goes over whatever you're wearing, which is what Drew is getting. There's also Velcro belts that adhere to a Velcro inner belt that you wear. It's a competition style belt. They've become very popular over the past few years in the tactical realm, but they've been used in the competition world for like 20 years, 15 years, something like that.
Do you want this bad boy?
Sure. So, actually, you know what? You want to run over that?
No, you can do it.
Look at him getting out of work. I wanted him to talk about it so I could drink some
water. I gotta look for your next question.
You know what? That's a good excuse.
It is a good excuse.
Get that helmet out of here. Nobody's gonna ask about helmets. So this is the T-Rex Arms Orion, and as you can see, you could put a lot of accessories on there. And as we know, the more stuff you can put on your belt, the cooler you are. Just kidding. You don't want to do that. You want to put only the things that you need. But in this case, there's a double pistol S-TAC. This is kind of our loadout that basically everyone here at the company runs, and most of the shooters that we know run. It's two pistol here in the front, so that's what you're going to hit with your support hand first when you go to reload, and then you have a single rifle mag right here. Now, obviously, dudes can throw on another rifle mag if they really think they need to. That starts to get a little heavy once you start adding that much weight on your hips. But two pistol, one carbine mag ends up being, you know, like around 2 pounds. So it ends up balancing the weight of your, you know, full-size pistol with a weapon light with a magazine in it. So this amount of weight versus this amount of weight on the other side of your hips is actually pretty comfortable. Once you start adding other mags or like two 308 mags, it starts to get pretty heavy. You really start to feel it on that side. And that's not a big deal if you're only shooting for an hour, but when you start shooting all day for 8 hours, you start to notice stuff like that. So moving back, we have obviously a dump pouch. This is our dump pouch. I didn't like a lot of the dump pouches on the market, so this is one that we started working on a few years ago. and produce. There's a little leg strap that can stabilize the pouch to your body. You can obviously shut it, you can roll it up, do all that good stuff. Just a different take on a dump pouch from other companies out there. We have the MedOne medical pouch, super slim, as you guys can see when it's kitted up. And the tourniquet is actually placed on the bottom, so you can access the tourniquet apart from everything else. The big issue with med pouches out there was they were really fat. They stuck everything in there. It wasn't packed very well. It wasn't vacuum sealed. So as soon as you put that on the small of your back and try to sit in a vehicle or just sit in general, you're jacking your spine up. So we're trying to keep this really slim so you don't have that problem. You can sit in a vehicle just fine. And in reality, you can with this pouch. It's actually really effective. It's got belt loops here on the back. I've got mags on here I'm trying to juggle. But you actually attach this med pouch to your belt, just sliding it on. You can also wear it on a normal belt, a 1.5 inch, like EDC belt, whatever. There's smaller belt loops here on the edge, so you got small loops, big loops, and you're good to go. And obviously Velcro in the front where you can add your, you know, chem lights, your whatever. You could put something weird back there, who knows. And then obviously this is your belt, right? One of yours?
Yeah, it's actually the one I use all the time.
Yep. You've got a, who makes this pouch again? I know.
Snake Eater?
No. This is MDOM. MDOM USA, I want to say, makes this pouch right here. Drew's using it to fit. This is one of the pouches I had in my stash that you...
I stole.
You went and stole. It'll fit multi-tools, flashlights, whatever. He's got one of these little battery vaults for CR123s.
Which I actually don't hardly use anymore at all.
Yeah, I don't know where mine went. I don't care where they went. And then obviously we have the UBL with a QLS. So we can interchange holsters, which is actually really cool. So got my Glock 34 here with a QLS. So I can throw that on there. I can remove this. I can add a different holster, and this is the Safariland setup, but some of you guys probably already know that, and you're like, you're preaching to the choir, you don't want to hear about that. So, this is the Orion belt, and I think some are in stock, but it's been really hard to keep them in stock due to supply and demand and people wanting them and production and all that. We don't make it in-house. Coyote Tactical Solutions down in Florida makes that for us, and we just don't always have it in stock, but when we do, pick one up.
Lucas.
Yeah.
Have you considered training civilians at some point?
I have. I do.
And what are your
guess what?
Plans?
Guess what? I do it every single day with videos. The fact of the matter is, I went to one class, a Redback 1 5-day carbine class, about 2 years after I started training on my own. And I learned some stuff in that class, and I went back and kept training. And the thing that I was doing is I was watching videos online. I was analyzing what there was in the video that I could learn and take to the range, and then I was putting in work. And the reality is, you don't need classes to get good at shooting. Going to one class early on can be really beneficial. Going to a class later, once you hit plateaus, can be really good, but you don't need classes and hands-on training to get good at shooting. There's tons of self-taught GMs and USPSA out there. So the fact of the matter is, if you follow our channel and you see some of the content we put out on how to be better at shooting, some of the stuff that we put out there, like that can help you at shooting. And we get messages from people all the time saying, your videos have helped my department or my agency or my unit or my whatever, you know, change the drills that we do. So that's training them without even going out there and being with them and doing a hands-on class. Kind of the sad thing is, if I taught civilian classes, let's say I went full-time instructor, right, and I taught two classes a week. Well, I could still only train, like, I think it's 800 people a year face-to-face. Like, that's not a lot of people versus the, you know, the, I guess, influence our platform has, which is, I think, up to, like, 1.4, 1.5 million of all of our accounts combined. Which ends
it's
up being,
1.6.
Yeah, 1.6, which ends up being, like, 800,000 unique people or whatever like that. We can reach more people with training materials that way than doing the classes. So that's why I focused on the, you know, educational videos and materials, because those actually go and reach more people. Because the fact of the matter is, not everyone's going to be able to train with me, even if I launched a company tomorrow. Now, are we working on some stuff? I can either confirm or deny, but at the end of the day, whatever we decide to do in future, again, not everyone's going to be able to do it, not everyone's going to be able to take the classes, and I'd still recommend that people watch videos, go to the range, teach themselves. They can do a lot just doing that. They don't have to run around taking classes every month. So,
also, we have a select group of people that are good to go to shoot on our range. If you email us and ask, the answer is no, but there are selected people that can do that, and 90% of them are civilians. So,
yeah,
actually, maybe a low figure.
So. And those guys aren't taking classes. They just shoot on their own, and they come to the range. I'm usually doing my own thing. They're doing their thing. We shoot together here and there, but usually I'm working on my own thing, and we just put in work. We're not running around the country taking classes. I haven't taken a class in forever. I tried to take a class a couple years ago, and the instructor didn't want me to take it. He was a little nervous about me being there. So for me, going around taking classes is a little bit tricky, which is kind of unfortunate. But the one person I would go take a class from, well, there's actually a few people I'll take classes from right now, and I'll give you guys recommendations. Brandon Wright, who's over in the East Coast area, shoots for Smith & Wesson. He's a super knowledgeable instructor. He's a very good shooter. It's a big thing. Being a good shooter, being an instructor, two totally different things. He's got both of them, which makes him a very valuable resource. You've got J.J. Ricaza, who's a very in-demand, high-level shooter. Again, very good at shooting, also very good at communicating, so you got both aspects right there. But again, he's only teaching probably 600 people a year, so getting into one of his classes is going to be pretty tricky to actually get into one of them. And that's just how it is. When you get really high-level instructors out there like Brandon Wright and J.J. Ricaza and some of these other dudes, you know, the chances of you actually getting into one of their classes is pretty low. Plus, they're pretty expensive. So watch their videos, pilfer knowledge that they put out for free, train on your own.
If you take a class, you probably shouldn't take another class until you've mastered everything that you were just schooled on. And I see that all the time, because I actually do take classes because, well, I'm not as good as you are at shooting, which I can't believe I just admitted on live, but everyone already knows it. But I've taken a ton of different classes, and what I see over and over again are dudes that didn't master whatever it is that they learned in the first class, and so it's just, you're just throwing your money away if you go and you take a course, and then you go home, and you don't really do anything that you did in the class. So,
it's true.
Yeah. Classes are underrated and also overrated at the same time.
They are. You'd be surprised how many people think they'll be an expert shooter taking 10 pistol classes, and they should have stopped at one. Shot on their own, taking a second class a year later, they'd be much further along in their own training. They'd save a ton of money, and they'd actually shoot more rounds every year, which is ultimately what you need in reps.
So. Speaking of good shooters, or excellent shooters, and good instructors, Jerry Mitchell has a question.
What?
He has a question. I've got a question for you. What do you carry for a blowout pack? Tourniquet or any kind of compression dressings? What do you carry?
I carry a lot of different stuff. So it kind of depends. So we have, do we have one of our little EDC kits here? I've got one in my pack. So normally, I'll just chuck a tourniquet and swallow my back.
I get tons of questions.
But I've always, everyone's going to be like, what's this bag? Well, I'm not going to talk about it, but what I have in this bag is pretty simple. So I have one of our expanded, in this case, because I have a bag, I can carry a little bit more equipment. We also have a smaller version of this that I started working with North American Rescue on it because I wanted one that was small enough I could actually put in my pocket. I know there's a lot of like ankle solutions for carrying it on your ankle or some of the other stuff out there. I wanted something I could throw in a regular jacket pocket that was a little more normal than something that would totally change things up. Plus, I wear slim jeans, and wearing an ankle setup just wouldn't work for me. But this expanded kit right here has everything it needs for standard TCCC protocol, TCC, Tactical Combat Casualty Care. And then down here, I've got a tourniquet, which I usually have two or three. This is the easiest thing to carry. These have saved tens of thousands of lives. They've been very proven. There's probably a couple people in here who still think tourniquets are going to make you lose your limb. If you put one on someone, that's a fallacy. It doesn't happen anymore. If you make a tourniquet out of a shoestring, that will cause nerve damage. That could cause some issues. But if you have something that's an inch wide, like this tourniquet, and you apply it to someone's limb, they can have it for upwards of 8 hours, gets the proper surgery, and their limb goes back to normal, and they're fine. Obviously dependent on the injury. But easy to throw one of these in small on your back. There's other kinds of, like if you have a Velcro belt, you can carry one in like one of our little carriers. But I like to have a bag, and I've always got stuff in my truck as well. So I'm always close to equipment out there. And it just comes down to, what are you doing? Your wife's got a purse, and you can have her carry it because you're with her. And then you don't necessarily have it on you. It's on her. Or you carry a secondary set. There's some different options out there, but you check these out. These are selling right now really well on our site, obviously, because of what else going on. So I'm not sure what inventory is like. I think we're good on tourniquets. I'm not sure how we are on these themselves. I don't have one of the small ones in here because I'm just rocking this little bag as I run around. I've got my, pills for headaches, my Excedrin that I live off of, and my iPad for work, and that's my little bag.
Pills for headaches, more rain.
Yeah, and I'll throw a rain in there, water, but cool to see you in here, Mr. Mickey Leck, another highly valuable shooter in the community.
Yeah. I have a cool story about a tourniquet. So I had my wife carry an extra tourniquet in her pack going to Disneyland, and you had to go through security. Security guy pulled out the tourniquet and was very angry. He was just like, what is this? We're like,
a bomb.
It's a tourniquet. And he goes, and that is? We're like,
for putting rods on someone's neck.
Yeah, we're like, you can save someone's life with it. Oh, and he goes, are you a first responder? I'm like,
she said, yes. You're like, yep, I'm a firefighter. I'm a tier one firefighter, first responder.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, you should carry a tourniquet.
Yeah, they're very, I've been told they're very stringent at Disney World. Obviously not right now because they're all shut down, but they're very stringent at Disney World. And I think their security screening staff, I guess, have a little more knowledge, or I don't know what their onboarding process is, because they recognize that stuff a lot more than, say, TSA. I've never been questioned for having tourniquets when I fly. I put them right in my carry-on, right in my backpack. I fly with my helmet, my night vision. Never been questioned on that stuff. If I went to Disney World with that stuff, they'd absolutely pull me aside, check it out, ask me a billion questions, probably not let me in. It's just very different at Disney World.
This is a timely subject, though, because, you know, you're looking at the medical field right now, and they're running out of face masks. They're running out of respirators and things like that. I don't think it's too far of a cry to guess that if something horrible were to happen where people required tourniquets, there would be a shortage of those. So every civilian, every person should have medical equipment, at the very least a tourniquet, somewhere nearby them or on their person. Because more than likely, the place that you're at is not going to provide that for you. So
nope. It's not going to happen. What else?
Best places to get medical training. You've taken some.
Yeah. So you can Google. I'd say the best thing to do is Google TCCC. I know it's a lot, but Google that. You can usually find classes nearby. The curriculum is going to be the same basically everywhere. It is a mandated sort of curriculum that is vetted, and for instructors to give out the credentials for that, they have to meet a lot of criteria. So it's also, I'm just going to say, very, very simple stuff. Don't let anyone try to tell you that TCCC is like the super high advanced knowledge stuff. Like, you literally could teach yourself TCCC reading the 68 Whiskey Army Manual, which is what I did early on. Went and took the class. I was like, I learned a little bit, but most of the stuff I already knew, I'd already done. I'd already figured out on my own because I just read and studied. But it's not super complicated stuff. Should you take a class? Absolutely. Are the classes going to vary based on what you can do in them? Yes. There's some classes that have force on force. Dark Angel Medical is one of the premier companies that runs the TCCC classes. Again, there's a lot of people that try to take his classes, and not everyone can get in and take them because there's a lot of demand, and it's only a couple dudes that are doing it. Another company that is actually another realm in the medical world people don't talk about, because obviously in the gun world, it's easy to just talk about gunshot trauma, right? But obviously when you're talking about a civil unrest situation or the pandemic that we're looking at, is having more medical skills apart from just gunshots, responding to active shootings and stuff like that. What I went and took 6 years ago before I started T-Rex, back when I was a firefighter, I went and took the Wilderness First Responder class by NOLS, N-O-L-S, can't remember what it stands for, National something, I don't know. It was an 8-day accelerated wilderness EMT or first responder class. So it's kind of like the urban one, but in my opinion, it's a little bit better because you're not dealing with the patient for 20 minutes until the ambulance arrives. You're dealing with a patient for 3 days, which is obviously way more realistic for a societal collapse. That's an 8-day class. It was like $500. It was held at the University of Murfreesboro here near me. And I actually really want to take it again because I forgot a lot of stuff. It's been actually, I think, 7 years. But there's classes like that that are not tactical, but will give you a lot of knowledge, a lot of information that you need. So that's the Wilderness First Responder class. I would 100% recommend that one. And that's one that's actually, I got an email from a private security contracting company that was looking for people to fill slots for stuff going on right now here in Tennessee. And they actually had that listed: medical experience, TCCC, WFR, Wilderness First Responder. So it's a recognized certificate of experience, knowledge in some of these different fields. So that's another good one. And it's $500 for like an 8-day class. So that's nothing compared to shooting courses, obviously.
Couple fast questions.
Yes.
Thoughts on 80% lowers?
Great, because you can have them shipped straight to your house. And just don't mess it up. But I don't have any. I've never had to get any, but cool. And it's a loophole, and it's a fun thing to do against the government, I guess, or despite the government. So, cool. Yeah.
EOTech XPS or EXPS? Which one do you prefer and why?
So EXPS, I don't have two right here to like show you, but the EXPS is lower third. So the base, as you can maybe see here, is a little bit taller. So this is a, you know, lower third. It's going to be a little higher. It's going to put your iron sights in the bottom of the window. The XPS series is absolute, so it's a little bit shorter. Those are the main differences. The buttons are in different locations. Honestly, it just comes down to preference. I do the XPS series on guns that have risers or guns that have a taller receiver, sometimes like the MCX or the SCAR. But if I'm running a standard, you know, direct impingement carbine, I prefer a lower third or even 193. So honestly, the XPS 3 is the most common, EXPS 3 is the most common because it is lower third and it puts the dot up a little higher, so it puts your irons in the bottom of the window, and that's what I recommend.
Shortest recommended barrel length for a 5.56?
10.3. Don't go beyond that. I mean, now, would a 7.5-inch work if you were within 10 yards of someone? Yes, although your ballistics are not going to be as good. Would it still work? Quite possibly. But 10.3 has been proven with a lot of studies and a lot of testing to be the shortest you can really go with 5.56, where you still have the benefit of the feet per second that you need to create the temporary shockwave when the round enters human body and starts to disrupt organs. And there's still people that debate that. Some people say, it's still too short, go 11.5, go 12.5, whatever. But 10.3 is the recommended length for as short as you can go. And this is a 10.3, and honestly, I don't necessarily need one any shorter. If you want to go shorter for a gun in like a little bag or something, I would say 300 blackout, and then you can go all the way down to like 5-inch. A 5-inch barrel will still have lethality because it's a larger bullet.
ACOG with RMR on top or a canted or like an offset mount?
Offset. I prefer offset. You have more head on the gun, a little bit better recoil management. Up higher is better-ish for gas masks. It's a little bit better for support side if you shoot on your opposite side. I prefer offset every day, all day, every day.
Unity fast mount versus ScalarWorks 193.
I prefer the 193.
Why?
I can still keep some cheek on the gun. So here's what I'd say about the Unity. Get the Unity if you're going to run the magnifier. If you're going to run the flip-to-center magnifier, and I've got one right here, if you're going to run this contraption that brings the magnifier to the center.
This thing is dope.
It is dope. If you're going to run this, get the Unity. If you're not going to run it, get the ScalarWorks 193. You're going to save a lot of money, and you're not going to have to buy this as well. But if you want to run this, get the Unity mount. But if you're just getting a mount just for your aim point, I would say go the 193. I think it gives just as much benefit as the Unity mount. I'm friends with the guys over there. They know where I stand on this. If you want to run this combo, which this is where the magic truly is with their mount, which is a 2.23, I think, 2.25, it was designed more around this than just being tall. So if you're not going to do this action right here, which is really cool, I might add, just get the 193, save some money, and it's good to go.
Ingall versus Maul. For those of you who don't know, these are two laser IR aiming devices.
I've got them here. So I've got the Maul as far as what you can buy on the internet right this second, right now. Go online, check out this right here. Because you can actually go and buy this right now. The Ingall right here is not readily available to civilians, which is stupid, thanks to the Food and Drug Administration and L3 and their knowledge and leadership, Insight, Crane, all those good people all working together. But this dude you can buy right now on the internet, and it's essentially a high-power laser civilians can own, which I find extremely dope and I really like. Do I prefer the Ingall over this? I think I do. It's quite a bit lighter. It has some advantages that I like over this guy right here. But the problem with the Ingall is they're not readily available. You have to buy them on the gray market. They're very expensive. I'll talk about them more. I've talked about them some on Instagram, but I'd recommend this for people that don't want to scout around looking for an Ingall. They don't want to spend $4,000. You know, they're fine with spending $2,500, which is still a good amount of money for a laser. Then, yeah, get one of these guys. It is a good laser. Mine's been painted, as you guys can see, multiple times. And I haven't used it in a while, but I probably should throw it on something at some point. Actually use it.
Thoughts on Holosun? We get asked a lot about Holosuns.
You've run them more than I have. You answer it.
Their pistol optics are pretty awesome, to be honest. They're cheap. They're effective. In some cases, they work better than more expensive stuff. The rifle optics, hit or miss. My personal ones have been excellent. Now, I still run an Aimpoint T2 or an EOTech primarily, but I do have some old Holosuns, like a 403A or a 503C or something like that. And, I mean, they've been tanks. I've never changed the batteries off. One of them is 5 years old, and it just stays on all the time. So,
yeah,
keeps holding
zero.
I'd say
their new pistol optics, their little acro thing. Can you see if we can get some of those? Are those out yet?
What?
The little boxy one for pistols?
They're not out, but I'll try and get one.
Okay. That's the one I'm interested in that one because I played with it at SHOT Show and that was cool. And I think it was like 280. It was sub 3.
Affordable.
Yeah, it was
that
sub 3.
Would have worked in the winter setting.
That yes, it would
probably. So
yeah, it was enclosed. But yeah, Hollow Sun, they are a little hit or miss. I'm more impressed with their pistol optic offerings right now than their rifle optics. Although I'm also interested in their IR lasers. They're new ones. The old ones is kind of like, I don't know. The new ones, they're building out a little more intuitive. They're putting more thought into them instead of just make a thing that outputs a thing. And it's like, well, it's kind of junk as far as actually putting it on a gun and using it. The new ones seem like they're a little more intuitive. People actually gave feedback on, you know, the original and why it was flawed. So I'm actually interested in their IR lasers too, more than their rifle optics. And then obviously their little acro pistol optics, pretty cool.
Camo for civilians wanting to look professional and respectable.
I would say multicam is probably your only option. And the reason for that is multicam is the public recognizes as of right now in 2020 that multicam is America's camo. Now I know other countries, Russia has their own version which looks similar, but the American public sees multicam as America. So if you want to look like you're a patriot, you're probably going to need to wear multicam and not PLA camo, which is the Chinese digital black, gray, white camo. That would be a very stupid idea for American citizens to wear running around our country in foreign camo. Even, I would say, Flecktarn as well. Like, if you are in public, you're in the public eye, you probably need to wear the camo of our own country. You have something to say?
Or Ranger Green and black.
Ranger Green, which is what we recommend.
Yeah, that's what we pretty much run.
We think, I believe that black and Ranger Green looks the most official if you're in an urban setting, or honestly, any setting. So if we're talking rallies, and this was obviously a big discussion that was happening during the Virginia rallies and other things, is how should the Second Amendment community, how should civilians present themselves when the public eye is seeing them? You know, should they dress up in Russian camouflage? Should they wear black ski masks and look like Antifa? Or should they maybe try to look like very professional SWAT teams that the American public is so used to seeing? I'm of the opinion that if you are going to open carry or present yourself out there as a Second Amendment protester, you know, be it what it, you know, whatever it is, but you are protesting American principles, you should try to look like an American and not like a evil foreign power wearing their camouflage, which I saw people doing at the Kentucky rally. It's, in my opinion, very foolish to do that. So we recommend
Wait
black
a
and Ranger.
Why did you call it Chinese camo?
Oh, no. I'm not politically correct. I called it PLA! People's Liberation Army! So my opinion is, if you're going to be doing things in the public eye, now obviously if you're sneaking around and you've gotten past that, then yeah, Flecktarn, ghillies, whatever, doesn't matter. But if you are at protests, you're in the public eye, you're trying to gain public support, you should think about how you look and how you are presented as a group, as a unit, as an entity, as an individual. I highly recommend green. It looks very professional. Black can look good too. We kind of do a mix of both. We kind of stay away from multicam and camo in general, except for very specific things. So
this is a somewhat common question in a way. What challenges would I run into as a civilian wanting to start a YouTube channel about firearm drills and training?
So obviously YouTube, as far as monetization goes, you're not going to be able to, most likely. You have some other considerations?
Well, I think your challenge isn't going to be from outside so much as it is from the inside. For example, yeah, YouTube is not going to be friendly towards you, but that's kind of like an outside entity crushing your ability to make stuff. What your biggest challenge is going to be able to find something that people actually value. Because we see this all the time. We see people constantly asking for shout outs to their random Instagram page or random YouTube page. And there's nothing wrong with people starting stuff. I love it. I mean, at some point you and I started.
Yep.
The problem is that you'd be very careful about the kind of content you create. It has to be helpful. It has to be valuable. And the content itself has to be good. Doesn't matter how many shout-outs you get, if your content is not good, you're going to die, period.
Yeah, like if the Glock page features your picture of your pistol and people go, I'll click on this dude and see if I want to follow him, and all they see is just the same pictures of the same pistol and there's just nothing there, there's no substance, nobody's going to follow your page. It all comes down to, you know, people look at a page and they go, what can I get out of it? That is subconsciously what they're thinking when they click on somebody's page. Am I getting enjoyment out of it? Is there going to be entertainment? Or is there knowledge? Like, which is it going to be? And you really got to make sure your page is doing one of those two things or both. I think the best combination is you can do both. A little bit of humor, a little bit of entertainment so that you appear human, which I try to do so people don't think I'm a robot. And then you have the education, which is what people actually benefit from and you can actually change culture with. So before you launch your YouTube, your Instagram page or whatever, think, what do I want to focus on? What do I want my messages to be? What do I want to prioritize? Is it citizen responsibility? Is it shooting performance? Is it shooting competition primarily? And then focus in on one of those things or at some point get into being able to do all of it. That starts to get really tricky and it can also dilute your brand potentially.
And how are you going to bring something new to the table or better to the table? If there's someone else out there that you're trying just to be like, you know, Grand Thumb 2.0, no one cares.
Yeah.
If you're just trying to present the same drills that everybody else is doing, well, it better be to a higher standard and with better quality than them, or else you're going nowhere. You're just going to spin your wheels.
Do something better or different.
Yeah.
Can't do the same, and you can't do not as good.
Not to discourage you from starting, because we didn't all start perfect.
No.
But you need to know what you're working towards. So, hope that helps. Can you rank the most necessary gear that a newbie should prioritize acquiring when getting into firearms, belts, plates, plate carriers, medical, nods, that kind of stuff?
So, that's a good question. It kind of depends on the state of the situation right now. So if World War III was about to start tomorrow, I would prioritize probably fighting gear, load-bearing gear, chest rigs, plate carriers, that kind of stuff. If we are in a somewhat more stable type of situation where, you know, shelves are full, you know, politics is somewhat decent, ammo is available, I recommend people just buy ammo and shoot and just focus on the training aspect. If World War III was around the corner, I would say kit, gear, like armor. Hopefully you can train some a little bit after once you have that stuff, but get it now because later you won't be able to. So it really depends on the state of things when you're trying to decide what to buy. I would have said a few months ago, I would have said, yeah, you know, get a belt and a pistol or a rifle. I would say rifle is the highest priority because pistols really suck for shooting people, but rifle for sure. And then ammo and go to the range. Get a shot timer, you're good to go. And then after that, get like a chest rig or a plate carrier. Then after that, get night vision. Then after that, do whatever. Start the progression that way. But I think the first one is obviously training, which requires a gun and ammo. And then after that, I would say gear, chest rigs, plate carriers, building out your capability, night vision later. Like, I wouldn't tell someone to get night vision if they couldn't shoot to begin with. Like,
yeah.
Don't do that. Get good at shooting first. Get really good with a white light. You'd be amazed what you can do with a white light, even if you don't have night vision, especially if you have something like a mod light, like this guy right here. This is the, I'm not sure exactly which model this is. It's OKW. So this guy right here is going to just fry someone out to like 100 meters. I've shot with these out to 200 with a scope. It's dark out, all that good stuff. Not dusk, but like actually dark out at 11 p.m. 200 meters with a 3x optic with an ACOG as well, 4-power. And you can do a lot with white light. So kind of depends on the situation of our country and everything going on. But ammo and training first, then gear, then night vision, then maybe some specialized night vision training. That's kind of the progression that I see, and that's kind of the progression that I followed as well.
The only thing that I would add to that is make sure you have a plan for training with your new gear. We see this all the time. It's a really easy trap to fall into, which is you know that you need body armor. You're right. You do need it as a civilian. People buy it, and then it just sits in a gear locker, or it sits in the car. If you don't ever actually run it or train with it, it's different to shoulder a rifle with a plate carrier on than it is without it on. So whenever you plan your purchases and you plan to buy body armor or nods or you're revamping your medical, make sure that you incorporate into that plan, you know, I'm going to spend 10,000 rounds just shooting with a plate carrier on to make sure that I'm comfortable with it, or, you know, take a medical class, whatever it is, make sure you have a plan for it. It's not just about the acquisition of gear. It's about being able to implement it. So that's the number one thing I see people do. And it's an easy trap to fall into.
Yep.
So, because it's easy to check a box that says, oh, I have this, I'm prepared. Nah, dude, that's not how it works.
Yeah. People also think it's all about shooting. It's kind of one of the issues that I've seen with the sort of the boob boys out there. I think it all comes down to shooting. And it's like, well, no, there's reconnaissance and there's building the affection of the people that you're trying to fight for. You're not just fighting for yourself. You're trying to fight for other people. So there's, you know, public perception, public opinion. There's building allies, and there's diplomacy, and there's reconnaissance, and there's surveillance. And then there's, like, finding food and water and actually being able to live, not just shoot. There's a lot of things people don't think about. They think it's all about the shooting stuff, which you'd think that's what we would say because this is our business. Like, we shoot, we do gun stuff, we sell gear, we invent gear. Like, that's what we do. But we recognize there's a lot more to it than that. And that's why we're involved in a lot of different, you know, facets in our community, and then also in politics as well, trying to turn things around here in Tennessee. And we've had some success doing some different things here, some experiments, and actually changing things for the better in our own state. So it's not just about shooting. There's a lot of other stuff that you have to think about.
So we're kind of coming up on an hour. Let's try and take a couple more. Can you spoil a product you're working on currently, or give us any hints as to why you're making it and what makes it better?
See, I love just...
It's better because we made it.
No, it's better because it's from us. No, so I love just dropping stuff. Sometimes too early. I'm kind of known for that, and it's been a problem in the past. So we have a sling we're working on. I don't have an update on when that's coming, though, because of all the stuff going on and production, pipelines, all the good stuff. The chest rig I've been working on for now over 2 years is I had to take a break on it for I was focused on other things, but recently we started working on it again. We used it in our winter shoot. Some of you guys might have seen it there, but that's coming along very well. That's one of the products I'm most pleased with because it solves a lot of problems with chest rigs that I just never liked chest rigs. I've never liked them for a bunch of different reasons, and we were able to develop a product that solved those reasons, and I think people are really going to like it. And some of the dudes I've already shown it to, some of the operational folks that have already gotten them, really like them for the same reasons that, you know, I designed it for. And then Grand Thumbs used it as well. So that's what I'm excited about. Sling.
You know it's legit.
What?
If Grand Thumb used it.
This is true. So. And he uses everything we make, so that's how legit our gear is.
I just shipped him some stuff today.
Oh, yeah, well, I saw you texting him earlier. I was spying on you a little bit. We have a little bag, but more on that later. I haven't really talked about that. That's kind of the first
thing. You're leaving out the coolest stuff. We've got some new content coming out that's going to be fire.
Well,
so
sure.
Can I spoil?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead.
So here's one of the things that is kind of like a project that me and my media team are working on. So if you go to websites like REI, they have a product video for everything that they sell. They sell some high-end stuff. They sell some budget stuff. They don't typically sell super crappy stuff. So one of the things that we want to bring to our product page is to help customers to answer their questions before they ask them are solid product videos that overview, this is the sidecar. This is how it works. This is how you can adjust it. This is how you put it on. This is the Orion belt. Here's how we recommend you kit it out. All that stuff. So for every single thing that we sell, even things that we don't make. That's one of the really cool things coming. We're also going to be doing more vlogs, which I'm really looking forward to because we get a lot of questions on how things work behind the scenes, how our media team works, how we decide what to do on a training day. I think one of the vlogs we're going to be working on next is what is a typical range day. So we're going to show you guys the behind-the-scenes process of planning that range day, getting the guns prepped, getting the gear prepped, picking out our shooters, deciding on the drills that we're going to run, specifically what shots we're going to get, our camera guys getting everything ready, whether it's drones, extra cameras, new lenses, extra batteries, how they're going to keep batteries alive in the cold with hand warmers, the logistics of it all. So that's one of the really cool things that I'm excited about is showing you guys how we do what we do because it goes back to our mission of inspiring people to do that as well. So,
and that's fun because it's interesting. Some people still think T-Rex is like three people and I'm still making holsters. I haven't made holsters in 3.5 years, 4 years.
You don't want him to make a holster for you. I promise you.
I actually wanted to come in and make a holster just to see if I could still do it.
We should do that.
Film.
Yeah.
I'm down. We may not be able to post the whole thing, but whatever. For some people don't see how fast or slow things are. But the company is a lot larger than that. And so there's a lot of things that obviously I'm having to learn as a CEO and as someone in a management position. Same with my two older brothers who run different parts of the company as well. So the vlog is going to be fun for that reason because I'm starting to get a lot more questions regarding business and management and employees and hiring people and different things like that, which I've had to transfer more to a CEO role over the past few months than a content shooter educator. I'm still doing that, But I'm having to go to more of a CEO role where there's a ton of meetings, a lot of emails, a lot of just sitting and thinking and strategizing about stuff, or dealing with tensions in the company and figuring out how to best go through that. So the vlog will be fun because we may be able to show some of that and some of how the company actually works, because now we're up to 40, a little over 40 something. I honestly have to look at a chart.
I don't know everybody now. It's weird.
You weren't supposed to say that. Fired. There's one.
That was the next question. No, that was not the next question. It's been tons of people asking this. How many times have I been fired today?
You know, this morning he was a little...
I was testy this morning.
He was very testy this morning, but...
I have a disagreeable personality as well.
Yeah, as you guys have probably noticed. But that was the first time he's been fired. But yeah, there's people in the company that, you know, some of us are not, you know, we don't know as well as some of the, you know, people have been here longer. So we're getting big enough now that there's, you know, that's now a challenge of, you know, being able to hang out with everyone, get to know them. It's a little harder now with the virus and different things going on and, you know, being quarantined. We've quarantined ourselves in this room, so we're just going to do lives till the day we die. So that's been interesting. But the vlog will be fun because we'll be able to dive into some of that
stuff. Speaking of vlog and lives, one other thing that we're doing really quick is we are creating some really cool environments here at our shop. So one of the big projects that we have going on behind the scenes is creating sets, but not just cool-looking sets, but functional sets. I mean, we need it for our team. We have Lord knows how many guns, tons of lights, tons of lasers, just tons of everything, and it gets crazy, especially if he's in charge of organizing it all. It literally looks like a hurricane like went through
fired again.
A tornado came in afterwards. So organizing everything, making it look cool, and it being a good presentation space for us to do more content for you guys is a big deal. We just built out our ammo depot. We're building out like a garage for staging. We're built, this room itself is a project room that's a makeshift gear room right now. We have a full armory coming out soon, which is pretty awesome. They've been working on that for about the past month. And maybe even in a new department.
Yeah. So we got a lot of stuff.
And a lot
once,
of cool stuff.
Once some of our sets are done, we'll be able to run in, do videos all the time, even just simple stuff, put up on our site, on product pages for the customer service department. That's one of the big things we're working on next month, is just very simple videos that are straightforward on, here's how you set up this. Kind of Drew touched on it earlier, but that's our content production for next month is going to be pretty crazy. It's going to be a lot of like fairly simple stuff. Now, the production quality is going to be very high because we're building some very nice sets. We have very nice cameras. This stream is actually not the highest of quality due to just some camera constraints we've had, but we're filming right now we're streaming with a 6K camera. That's what we use at the range. We're going to get these streams up to probably 2K at least soon. Maybe 4, I don't know. I don't know how much we're going to be able to do. But production is constantly going up here at T-Rex with new cameras, new folks who are working here. And obviously the set. I mean, this is just a live stream we're doing. And like, it's pretty legit. We got 40 mic back there. We've got cool guns.
I'm
very happy with the way our production has increased over the past few months. Every month, honestly, it's been great.
One might say someone's done a really good job. Anyway, so we have, is there anything else you'd like to touch on before I ask you one last question?
I think we're good. What's the question?
Okay, this last question is something that popped up on the last live a lot, which is, why are you talking about political stuff?
Because we can. No, so here's why.
There's a difference in audiences, too.
This is actually something we talked about after the live last week, which is, you know, how many people on YouTube are following us separate from Instagram? Because people on Instagram have seen more into our daily lives because we post daily on Instagram. We post behind-the-scenes stuff daily on Instagram. YouTube, we post a video. We like to do it once a week. Doesn't always happen. So last year we did 32 videos in a year. So that's like, you can do the math for how many videos a week that is on average. But so you guys, if you're just following on YouTube, you don't see a lot of the company, and you pretty much only see gun content. You've seen a few political pieces that we've done, but you don't see how opinionated we actually are. And the reason we're opinionated is we don't want to be one of these companies that tries to pander to everyone and tries to stay neutral, because that's not how you move the needle and it's not how you change culture. So something that we've seen with our own company over the past couple of years is some of the stances that we've been we've taken a very hard stance on regarding, you know, citizen responsibility, citizen equality to law enforcement. So one example is we don't, In Connecticut, they can't sell body armor straight to citizens unless it goes to an FFL first. So one thing we said is, well, we're not going to sell body armor straight to law enforcement. They have to buy it just like everyone else in the state of Connecticut. Because one of our big things is citizen law enforcement equality. So we've been preaching on that for a couple years now, and we've started to see more companies. I don't know if it was just our company, but people started asking these other companies, hey, what's your stance on this? And when companies start getting asked by folks what their position is, they kind of have to take them. And what it takes is a few companies to champion these ideas and these principles to get consumers to go, that's a thing I should look for in other companies. Yo, such and such, Daniel Defense, what do you think? And then Daniel Defense goes, I don't know what to think. So that's why we're very opinionated and we take stances on things, is because it actually changes other companies in the industry as well and can change culture. So that's why, you know, we're not here to make everyone happy. It's not going to happen. We're not going to try. We're going to try to champion the ideas that we hold dear, ideas that are American, ideas that our founding fathers, you know, put into the Constitution, and then go beyond that as well and not just sit here and be like, holster, buy. Oh, we don't want to talk about the shooting that just happened, or we don't want to talk about these laws. Like, no, we're going to talk about that stuff. We have a lot of people that really don't like us because of how outspoken we are, and frankly, we don't care. We're going to keep doing it. That's just how it is here at T-Rex Arms.
In order to reach people that no one else is reaching, you have to do things that no one else is doing. That's true whenever it comes to conversations also. Someone has to have the hard conversations. Someone has to say the hard truths, and sometimes that ruffles feathers. But the truth of the matter is, and the short answer to that question is, we've always been political.
Yep.
It's very easy to be political on Instagram because we can post stories every day, every hour. On YouTube, it's a little different because, you know, you get a video once a week, once every 2 weeks, so you don't see it quite as much. And it's just a difference in audiences. So if you want to see more of our political stuff, if you want to, you know, keep up with us daily, follow us on Instagram.
Yep.
If you want to see more of the produced videos that are
fancy,
awesome,
cool, fun,
dope,
legit,
too legit,
stupendous,
I'm done,
fabulous,
swell,
that's a good one,
then watch YouTube.
Yeah, but Instagram, I would say that's where you can really see what's going on. And soon here we're hoping to have the vlog series. We don't know if we're putting that on YouTube yet or if that's going to stay on our website exclusively on the T-Rex Arms website. We don't know yet, we're not sure. But that'll be another way to see what's going on and see what we're doing. You know, what new guns we're getting, what new equipment we're playing with. Like this guy right here, still in the testing process for the scope. But the vlog would cover some of that. This is the Razor 1-10, the new Vortex. But like the vlog would cover some of that. I'd be like, just got the scope, gotta go paint it right now. Here's my first impressions. Now we're gonna go to the range and zero it and test it with 77 grain ammo. Like, I don't do YouTube videos on that because that's a little more casual, I guess. I prefer to be a little more, I guess, fancy, a little more well-produced for our YouTube videos. Instagram is where we kind of get away with a little bit more casual content that we have to produce, you know, every day. We have to publish stuff every day to, you know, get new people, build a platform, educate, all that good stuff. So, any other questions before we tune off?
I think that pretty much covers it. We can always do another one this week.
But I will say, we are planning on doing more of these lives in future on whatever you guys want to talk about. I'm sure, you know, when a thing comes up like this pandemic, there's going to be, you always get questioned about it because people want to figure out how we're thinking about it. We'll do lives covering that, bring other people on. I'll also be starting a podcast here in the near future. No idea when, but until then, this will kind of serve as where we can get some additional content out there. And this also stays up, it looks like, forever, unless one of us says some heresy and we got to take it down. So we got to be careful. But
that's why I haven't been talking very much, in case you haven't noticed.
He talked more than I thought he would, which is good. I got a little break.
What is going to be the next YouTube video we drop?
You mean the actual video?
Yes.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a legit video regarding Mark 18s, or CQBRs. That is being edited actually right now. Well, not this second, but today it was getting worked on. Tomorrow it's getting worked on. I don't want to give a date it's coming out, but we are working on that right now. It's going to be regarding these right here. We have a bunch of these here at the shop, here at T-Rex. That's my personal that I've had for 3 years. It's been a little while. But we're going to do a video on these, talk about them, how they're set up, why they were set up the way they were.
Just feels good.
It's just, but more or less it's a video recommending training more than anything. So that's kind of the funny part with our videos. We don't really do gun reviews. We probably never will. We like to talk about, you know, nuances to guns and things we like and don't like. We'll probably never do reviews like other channels do. But the thing you can always count on that we'll do in our videos is recommending people train and then skills beat the gear that they have, and they should focus on those. So with all that said, guys, I appreciate you all tuning in. This is going to obviously stay up. You can watch it again, podcast it, listen to it. There wasn't a lot of show and tell, so you can do that. But we will catch you next time, whenever that is. Take care.
Good job. You didn't say...
Hang on, we may still be alive.
Okay, so quick...